gospel reading today is from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 19. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today we have the proclamation of the angels unto the shepherds, the proclamation of the angels, the messengers of God to the shepherds in the fields. This declaration to the shepherds is most curious given the context. Given the context of the first century BC, in an era and a place and a time and a culture where shepherds had a very bad reputation. The rabbis of the first century AD write about them, "Most of the time they were dishonest and thieving. They led their herds into other people's land and stole the produce of the land." Because they were often months at a time on their own, without any authority figures looking over their shoulders, shepherds were often accused of stealing newborn lambs from the flock as well as other things from the sheep. As a result, the religious people were warned not to buy wool or milk or young sheep from shepherds on the assumption that they were stolen property. There's a commentary on the 23rd Psalm that reads, "There's no more disreputable occupation than that of a shepherd." And shepherds were not allowed to fulfill a judicial office or be admitted in court as witnesses in the first century AD. Shepherds were not viewed positively at all, even by the Jewish philosophers of the era. Philo, who lived during the lifetime of Jesus, wrote regarding shepherds that such pursuits are held mean and inglorious. In other words, being a shepherd was not considered advantageous up-and-coming employment. So why? In a culture and a society where shepherds are viewed so negatively, why would shepherds be chosen to be the first witnesses of the birth of Christ, the birth of the Messiah, the birth of the Holy One of God? If they were making this story up, they wouldn't have chosen shepherds, friends. But shepherds are listed as the first to make this proclamation. It's interesting, by contrast to all of this negative stuff about shepherds from the first century BC and the first century AD, in contrast to all of this negative stuff, look at some of the heroes that you've got in the Bible who were shepherds. People like Abraham, people like Isaac, people like Jacob. Zipporah, Moses' wife, she was a shepherd. David was a shepherd. He was out tending the flock when his brothers went one by one to be identified if they might be the future king. And he had to be brought in so that he could be declared the future king of Israel, brought in from the sheep, from tending them. Indeed, in the 23rd Psalm, Jesus is identified as a shepherd to God's people. Indeed, the scriptures proclaim him as the good shepherd, our good shepherd. It's these least regarded, least trusted, lowest of the working poor of Jewish society, who were out doing their jobs at night when an angel's chorus comes to proclaim to them good news. Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. That's weird. The Savior, the Messiah, the King, born in a stable and lying in a manger? Yet another major contrast with what you would expect. Just as the first people to hear this message shouldn't be the shepherds, it is. Also, the one who gives birth to this child, and this very child himself, seems to be at contrast with expectations. Kings and rulers and people of power and significance, certainly the Son of God, aren't born in a stable, the child of a poor carpenter and a young maiden, both of whom were not yet married to each other. He should be born to rich people, powerful people, military generals, governors, kings, emperors, religious leaders, priests, rabbis, not a carpenter whose primary mode of income would be contract work, making implements for the Roman occupation forces. Huh. No. If this were what we would expect, if this had been written to reflect the expectation, this is not what would have been written. Instead, you have the Messiah being born in a humble setting, from humble parents, in a backwater part of the empire, in a little town, far removed. Today it's a suburb of Jerusalem. Back then it was not close to the power center of the region. If you had been making this up, you wouldn't have made it up this way. But instead, we find God doing what God always does. God pierces into the stuff of this life. God reaches into the flow of time and the flow of space and the societies that we live in. God reaches into the midst, into where we are, to come to us and be known to us in the least expected ways, through an affirmation to shepherds. and a child born to a young maiden not yet married. A scandal in that society, a scandal in that world, unexpected and a problem. But this unexpected birth and this unexpected place from this unexpected family and this unexpected society in this unexpected backwater part of the empire, this birth would end up changing absolutely everything about the universe in which we live. For that baby, who was wrapped in bands of cloth and lined in a manger, and we usually depict it as being some wood structure. It wasn't. It was made out of stone. And it had an indention carved in the top of it. You can find them all over Israel today from back in this period, carved into the top of it. And into it would be placed grain or hay or water for animals to eat. We have a baby who should have been wrapped in silk and kept in a palace or in the home of the high priest. We find a babe, the child of a carpenter, placed in a feeding trough. A feeding trough used by animals for nourishment. It's a powerful image and a powerful symbol and a powerful reminder that in the most unexpected places, in the most unexpected ways, God reaches into our lives to work a miracle. The miracle of the presence of God in our midst. And it shouldn't be missed that this baby was wrapped in bands of simple cloth and laid in a feeding trough. Because this baby who was laid in a feeding trough would become the source of eternal nourishment now for over 2,000 years for people all over this world. And we become indeed the source of eternal spiritual, emotional nourishment for us today. That symbol should not be missed. We're called to recognize and to celebrate the incarnation and birth of God in our midst as our source of strength, hope, and love, of our source of joy and peace, of our source of eternal life. And so we come to the table of the Lord on this Christmas Eve to recognize and celebrate that amazing presence, that powerful transforming love that was present in that little baby about whom the angels sang, about whom the shepherds proclaimed, about whom Mary pondered in her heart, the meaning of this message. Yes, indeed, this little baby is the Lord of the universe, our source of strength for all eternity. Come to the table of the Lord today. Give thanks and praise to God for the grace and peace we receive here. Allow the baby Jesus, to touch you and transform you. And then go out and proclaim to all the world with those shepherds, with Mary, with Joseph, with Elizabeth, with Zechariah, proclaim to all the world that Christ Jesus is born. That Christ Jesus is here, that Christ Jesus in his love transforms us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and may God's people say, Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Holy Creator, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the giver of life, love, and peace. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, Master of all that was and is to come. You formed us from the elements of all eternity. Speaking your word of grace, you created us and breathed into us the breath of life, giving us your very image and calling us to a relationship with each other and with you. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. For this glorious night in which we remember and celebrate the incarnation and birth of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. His coming was foretold by the Hebrew prophets, announced by the Archangel Gabriel, and humbly accepted by Mary and Joseph. Christ was conceived by faith, accepted by faith, recognized by faith, and proclaimed by faith. Shepherds were drawn to the site of his birth in Bethlehem of Judea, and the heavenly host of angels sang of the glory. We join their songs of praise this night, opening our hearts and mouths to proclaim, Christ is born anew in us. Christ is born anew. On that other night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave the cup to his disciples, and said, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we proclaim the mystery of the faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. By Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. As our Savior Christ has taught us, let us pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Yea, Lord, we pray.